I didn't announce it next week, but I think that quite probably you knew the next step in the end time series. Because you see, after the rapture that we talked about last week, comes the great tribulation. Dear friends, I just want to tell you that's not a time you want to be in this world. In Matthew chapter 24, we read a portion of it just a moment ago. Would you stand in honor of reading God's word with me? I know we've had you up and down a bit, but folks, as God's word is read, we want to honor it. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22, we recap this. It says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved." Folks, just stop there for a minute. Do you understand how bad those times are going to be? The scripture says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. In other words, no life would remain. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would have a great understanding of these days to come. Lord, that we might be preaching and teaching and heralding the truth so that others around us would know. And Father, that we could give them enough loving, caring warning so that they too could miss the greatest of the tribulation. Give us ears to hear your word and a heart to share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? You may have noticed that the end time series is quite an evangelistic tool, amen? We talk a lot about the return of Christ and being ready. Well, you know me, I'm always that way because you see, I believe that that's my job and I believe that's every Christian's job is to share the truth, the gospel with people. But these days, as we talk about the end times, it seems even a more prevalent theme to be ready. And the only way that you can be ready is to be a child of God. In his Olivet Discourse, the scripture said that Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. And for those of you who have been there, some of you have been there with me. You remember those olive trees in that garden area, and we sat around underneath the trees, and it was a very peaceful place as you sat on that hillside, and you could look back over at Jerusalem and even Mount Zion. And it says that Jesus sat there with his disciples. And in that Olivet Discourse, these scriptures that we just read were a portion of what he told his disciples. And he told them, he says, the world will see a time of great tribulation. Now, for those who take the Bible seriously and literally, I think we find it very significant, dear friends, that the tribulation period is given more space in Scripture than any other comparable event. Now, there are other things talked about more, but I'm talking about comparable events. It is spoken of more than the millennial kingdom, that thousand-year reign of Christ. It is spoken of more than the literal kingdom of heaven. It is spoken of more than hell. It's mentioned at least 49 times from the Hebrew writers. It's mentioned at least 15 times in the New Testament. And so, dear friends, don't expect me to try to cover it all today. Amen? And your backs say, praise God. First of all, let's talk about some things that are not going to happen. Okay? Let's talk about some things that are not going to happen in the Great Tribulation. First of all, folks, the world is not going to come to end at the rapture. When God's people are taken out, that's not the end. There's a lot of people who think that's the end of the world. That the rapture and the end are the exact same thing. Folks, go back and read God's word. Read Revelation. The revelation to John is an understanding of the things that are going to happen in the latter days. And of course, all through Scripture, we have end-time prophecies. The second thing that's not going to happen is the unsaved dead are not going to be raised at the rapture. Everyone is not saved. We talked about this a bit last week. Now, let me explain that. We do know this, that every person who lives, every person that has ever been alive, they get a body. They also receive a spirit. They are given a soul. When they die, their body goes to the grave. Amen? That's what happens. We bury them. Their body goes to the grave. Their spirit goes to another place. We talked about that in the past. We do know this, that God's word says that upon our death now, because after Jesus died on the cross, after he went and prepared for us a place in heaven, the scripture tells us that when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So praise God. There is no separation there any longer. Jesus prepared the way. Maybe that'll be another sermon. But folks, as Christ has prepared the way, then our body as a Christian, as a believer, dies and it goes to the grave, but the spirit goes to be with the Lord. The scripture also tells us that the bodies of those who are without Christ, they die, their bodies go to the grave. But where does their spirit go? The scripture says it goes to Hades. You remember the story that we told, and that the parable that we told about the rich man and Lazarus not too long ago. I believe that was end times number 2. You can go back and look at that one. Well, when Christ comes back, the bodies of the dead, of the unsaved dead, are not going to be raised up. They're just going to stay in the grave, and their souls are just going to stay in Hades. They're just going to stay in punishment, in the flames, the scripture says, until the final judgment, when everybody is going to be going up, and that's going to come after the millennial kingdom. We'll talk about that when we get to the thousand-year reign. But until then, understand this. That's not what's happening right now. At the rapture, when God's people are taken up and taken out, that's not the end of the world, and that is not when the unsaved dead raise up. As a matter of fact, Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, calls the rapture the first resurrection. And that's the first resurrection, but it is the resurrection of all those who are saved. And then secondly, it also says, just follows those words, it says that the lost dead will not be raised until the millennial reign of Christ. So the scripture's laid out for us there. We don't have any questions about it. Here is the third thing, and I want everybody to say amen right up front. Say amen. Amen. Say praise the Lord. Now, that's just practice for you being able to say it with real enthusiasm when I give you the third point of what won't happen. And what won't happen is the church will not have to endure the great tribulation. Amen. Now, I want you to notice, it doesn't say that you won't go through some tribulation, but it says that you won't go through the great tribulation. We're going to talk about the difference of that today. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus gave us this promise. He said, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. This is the judgment of the earth. And folks, that comes when Christ's people are taken out. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tell us similar things. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, we're going to read that. It says this, they tell how you turn to God from idols. In other words, hey, those of you, some of you have been saved. You have turned from idols and to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, listen, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What wrath? The wrath of God. God's word tells us that we will not go through, we will not have to endure as believers the wrath of God. And all God's people said, whew, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice though, it says we will miss the worst. It says we will miss the most intense. But we are not told that we will miss all the tribulation. That's why I want you to personally be prepared for whatever is brought to us. So what will happen when he comes? When the Lord Jesus returns, what is going to happen to the rest of the earth. First of all, we know this, and this is what we celebrate. This is what we talked about last week. All the saints are going to be caught up with the Lord. And all God's people again said, I told you we were going to be encouraged today. Folks, we don't have to endure what God pours out on the lost. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read this last week, just a brief review. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, let me say this again, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, folks, what is going to happen? The great tribulation is going to start with the disappearing of God's people. They're going to be taken up. Second thing that's going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the world. You're going, oh, man, that doesn't sound good. It's not good. The Holy Spirit is going to be removed from the face of the earth. The scripture tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We know that, amen? Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, what in the world does that mean? In other words, for the time being, evil is restrained by God's Holy Spirit. God keeps his hand on this world so that evil just cannot run totally rampant. It is the Holy Spirit that keeps Satan from just having his will and his way on this earth. For 2,000 years in what we call the age of grace, the time from Christ's death until the time that he returns, where his Holy Spirit is at work on this earth and is drawing men to him. He's calling them. He's touching their hearts. He's moving their spirits and says, come to me, come to me. Listen, that is the work of God during this age of grace, right here, right now. He has been striving to lead men to faith, to bring them to his Son. He's been seeking to convict mankind of their sin of unbelief and using his infinite power to hold evil back so that men can see God in this world. That's why the scripture says there is no excuse for rejecting God. For even if they have nothing other than nature itself, Romans tells us it speaks of the one true God. The Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit today? There you go. Right here. He's right here. He is everywhere. He is in every heart that is trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit dwells with believers. Now listen. At the rapture, who's leaving this earth? Believers. Who's going with them? The Holy Spirit. The scripture says that, listen, don't you remember Jesus said? He said, I will never leave you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Listen, when believers go, the Holy Spirit's going. Now, I know the Holy Spirit has always been around. Even from the very beginning, the scripture says that he was upon the face of the waters. You go read the scripture. So the Holy Spirit was there, but the Holy Spirit didn't move to his purpose and function on earth until after Christ Jesus ascended. Well, folks, he's going to be everywhere again, but his purpose is going to be different, and he will not be restraining Satan in any manner whatsoever. I'm going to say it again. I'm probably going to say it a few more times. You don't want to be here when that happens. When the Holy Spirit is taken away, the worst is going to begin. That's when the Son of God is just going to say, okay, I've turned it over to him for a while. That's when the Antichrist is going to be revealed, and that's one reason it's going to be so hard to become a Christian in those days. It's going to be so hard to believe because evil is going to overwhelm all. The Great Tribulation will begin. This is point number three. The Great Tribulation is going to begin when the saints of God and the Holy Spirit are taken off the earth. I'm going to say it again. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here when the world is turned over to Satan and his demons. I don't want to be here when the world is facing the great tribulation. You think it's bad now. It's going to get worse. God's word tells us that we have to face some tribulation. Who else is he talking to when he says, you will face tribulation? But he says he's going to remove us before the great tribulation. Again, we'll talk more about that later. What exactly is the great tribulation? What is the great tribulation? That is when God himself begins to pour out the vials of punishment on the earth, and that it's the time of God's judgment upon the world for rejecting his son. That's where it begins. Dear friends, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 calls it a time of great trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Jesus himself and many others call it the great tribulation. And the scripture tells us that the full length of the great tribulation is going to be how long? Do you remember? 7 years. 7 years of tribulation. Daniel, listen, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 tells us, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, all of that is coming around to say that the context is revealing that it is going to be a terrible and an awful time, and it is for 7 weeks. And yet, under the understanding and the prophecy, you come to understand that he's talking about years. This is known as the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. And if you want to go back and look at all that, you begin to look at things that have happened since the death of Christ, since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the abomination of the desolation, the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. And then, of course, we're coming up to the very last week, if you come to prophecy, and it's going to be coming up, and it's going to be, of course, 7 years, and that is the tribulation time. So, the great intensity of the tribulation is not the full 7 years, but the great intensity of the tribulation is going to be but for 3.5. So if you want to go back and look at Revelation, and you look at chapter 6 through chapter 13, you see the first half of the tribulation. And then if you'll look at chapters 15 through 18, you see the second half. That's where God pours his vials out on the earth. So the great intensity of the tribulation is going to be the second half, 3.5 years. That's when the great wrath of God is poured out. Now, the fullest description of the tribulation is found in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 18. And in the tribulation, the seven seals are going to be opened. This is in the first part. The seven seals are going to be opened, and peace is going to be taken from the earth. Folks, I have a sneaking suspicion that we're going to be here for that part of it. And yet, the scripture says that peace is going to be taken from the earth. Famine will cover the earth. Death will strike 1/4 of all the world population. And then the seven trumpets are going to be sounding, and hail and fire will visit the earth. Waters are going to become bitter, and many more will die. The sun is going to cease to shine, and the locusts are going to come in as a plague. Now, a good description of the awfulness of this tribulation is found in Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. Listen, it says, in those days, men will seek death. What is that saying? People are going to want to die. It's going to be so bad. They will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. In Revelation 16, the seven vials then of the wrath of God are going to be poured out. We'll be gone for then, for sure. We'll definitely for sure be gone then. And the Bible says that boils are going to come upon men. The sea is going to become like blood. In other words, it's going to be useless. It's going to stink. It's going to smell. It's going to be awful. The sun is going to burn again. The sun's going to come back, and it's going to burn so bad it's going to scorch men. Darkness is going to cover the earth. And a great earthquake such as we have never known is going to occur. Folks, these are just a few of the things. I just covered the highlights. Not a party you want to attend. Amen? I think the best words that I can describe this with, without trying to be funny or trying to be sensational, folks, it's going to be hell on earth. That's the description of the tribulation to come. And in light of these very solemn facts, there are three things that I want to bring to your attention this morning. I didn't even try to cover everything on this. You notice I didn't go through and try to tell you about all the seals and all the bowls and all the trumpets. There's just no way to cover them all this morning. So what I'm going to tell you is this. Would you work with me and let's go through them in future days? We'll look at them and we'll tell you why I think that we need to be more prepared for the first part of the tribulation, knowing for sure we're going to be gone in the second half. And I tell you what, I've had people say, oh, Pastor, you're wrong. It's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, and we're all going to be taken out before any of the 7 years start. And you know what I tell them? I look them right in the eye and I say, I hope you're right. I just hope and pray that all of those who are pre-trib rapture people, which would be wonderful, I hope and pray that someday we're going up and y'all are going, told ya. Lord, let it be. Amen. And yet the scripture tells us again and again that God's people are going to be going through what? Who is the world fighting against if all of the Christians are taken out? Who is the devil fighting? Who are they looking for to persecute? Dear friends, I'm going to tell you, we need to be prepared and we need to be ready. Raptured out, praise God. We'll be taken out before the wrath of God is poured out, but we need to be prepared for whatever is coming. So in the light of these things, I want you to do this. First of all, I want you to be aware. I want you to be aware that the world is going to face some dark and fearful days. And you, dear friends, are the light of the world. Christ Jesus is the light of the world. And with you, with him in your heart, you are going to be his light. The world does not face peace and prosperity, as some would tell you. Did you know that there are some theological people who say that the world is just going to get better and better and better and better until God says, I just can't stand it. They're so good, I'm coming home to get them. That's what I see going on. No. Not even close. You see, the chief characteristic of this age and the age to come is war and rumors of war. That's what God's word says. Folks, the world faces some dark and terrible days to come. And of all today's war, they are going to culminate in the wars of the tribulation and finally at the Battle of Armageddon when Christ Jesus returns ultimately in his second full return, touches down on this earth and comes not as an humble child but as conquering king. Joel chapter 3 verse 10 predicts this, that men will be beating their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears. In other words, they're going to be looking for any weapon they can find in these days. In the tribulation days, all peace will be taken from the earth. There will be no peace. There's no Holy Spirit to bring peace. Second thing is, terrible and trying times are coming upon this world. Because you see, there can be no real abiding peace until Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, returns. Amen? And if he's gone and his Holy Spirit is gone, there will be no worldwide peace until the Lord Jesus comes. And he puts the devil into the bottomless pit and he throws away the keys and he puts all opposition to the work of God away. Jesus is going to establish peace based on the only one true foundation. And that, dear folks, is righteousness. That's when peace is going to come. Peace made by man cannot stand. I don't care what you think. I don't care how much you trust any person. Man cannot bring lasting peace. Therefore, all peace treaties are going to be but scraps of paper in that day. And I'm going to tell you this, that the work of peace organizations can't do anything but secure a little bit of a lull in the bloodshed that is sure to come. It will happen. And it's going to continue until Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom on earth. At the Battle of Armageddon, when Christ defeats all evil and he begins to set up his kingdom on earth, that's when peace is going to come. And I'm going to tell you this, you have seen and you have heard that our president has been working towards a peace agreement in the Middle East. Have you seen it? Have you read about it? Have you heard about it? He's saying that, and he said, and the initial reports are that all the entities are saying they'll work with it. That Israel is saying they'll work with Jordan. That Israel is saying that they'll work with Palestinians. That they'll work with anybody. Listen, that hasn't happened in this world since the early days. It's not going to happen here. They say they will, but it's not going to happen. They will say, oh yes. But I'm going to tell you, here's what I think is going to happen. And I don't know, you know the same thing. I think it is just going to be a jockeying position to see who can get the first strike in. I would love for there to be peace on earth, but it's not going to happen. Not until Christ Jesus returns. So folks, be aware that the world faces some dark, dark days. So what can you do? First thing, be aware of the dark days coming. Secondly, you make sure that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. You make sure that your name is going to be there. Everyone who belongs to this church, Grace Point, every person that has ever joined this church has professed to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know why I know? Because nobody joins this church without talking to the pastor. And I ask them those questions. If you've joined this church, you know what I'm talking about. Every person is asked about their faith in Christ. But among those who profess, listen people, among those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, there are two classes of people. Are you listening? Those who profess only with their mouth. And then those who profess with their mouth, but also possess the Spirit of Christ. The question is, are you a mouth professor only? Or do you possess eternal life with Christ Jesus? There's a difference. Christ said that there are going to be those who appear before them, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these wonderful works in your name? And he's going to say, what? Depart from me, for I never knew you. Because they were mouth professors, but not heart believers. Do you possess eternal life? What a terrible thing it would be to belong to the church and rest thinking, oh, I've got a church membership. I'm a good person. I can quote some of the Word of God. I sing hymns. I go to church. But it's going to be a terrible thing to belong to a church and to make a profession, but then discover when he comes that you are lost and yet you're locked and left outside. Dear friends, make sure now that your soul is safe in the hands of Jesus. And then there's one more point that I want to make of the three. Dark days are coming, be ready. Make sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the third one is, this is the time to go after the lost and win them to Jesus Christ. Because you see, when that day comes, there won't be people here in the church. We'll talk more about who those 144,000 are later. But dear friends, the Holy Spirit being gone, it's not going to be the time to try to win people, because he said it's going to be difficult, difficult, difficult. It's easy to return to Christ today, and you see how hard it is for many. The days are few. Amen. I think we're in the last days. Amen. Opportunities are literally slipping away. Souls are falling into hell, and Jesus Christ is coming soon. The great separation is going to occur. God is going to come. He's going to send His Son. We're going to meet Him in the air, and the Holy Spirit and the church is going to be gone from this earth. And the tribulation, and then the great tribulation will begin. What a fearful prospect for those who do not know Christ Jesus. If we love the Lord Jesus, and we love people, and we say we do, if we love lost souls, you know what? We're going to lead them to Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing you could do. Some people say, oh, well, you know, I just hate to put my, you know, my belief on somebody else. Really? Let me ask you this. Wouldn't you like some days to just stop some people on the road and say, you drive awful? Come on, yeah? See anybody on the way here? Did they drive into the church parking lot ahead of you? Oops. There are times that we want to share our opinion with other people, and sometimes we do it from the front seat of our car behind the wheel. And sometimes we do it on Facebook. And sometimes we'll send them an email. But sometimes when it comes right down to getting right in front of people and looking them in the eye and getting face to face, we're just a little timid about telling them the truth about Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel with them. And that's a shame. I think that where we would hopefully and prayerfully would never run somebody off the road, you know, to tell them how they are driving, we might indeed run out in the road and throw our hands up and wave back and forth and say, stop! Stop! The bridge is out! And if they were headed down Fish Creek and that big bridge that they built over there, if right in the middle it had just collapsed and people were driving off one after the other. You know, that happened in, was it Los Angeles during the earthquake? Is that where it was? That happened. To their death. To their death. To their death. Would you be brave enough to get out in the road and maybe to have a sign and say, stop, stop, stop. The bridge is out. You're headed to your death. Would you care enough about people to keep them from dying that way? Would you? Would you? I believe you would. Dear friend, that's what the church does every day. That's what Christians are to do every day, because they are headed to the end of their life without Jesus Christ, and they are headed to their spiritual doom without Him. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to stop somebody and say, you're headed the wrong way? And if they turn you down, you've done your job. But don't stop. I am afraid that there are going to be many, many people that will get before the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He says, depart from me, for I never knew you, there's going to be a crowd of people over on this side that are in, and they're going to look across that distance. It'll be the last time we ever see them. And the look in their eyes is going to say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Let's not be guilty of keeping the word silent. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, would you help us to be prepared? We know, Lord, that if we truly accept you as Lord and Savior, Lord, we need not fear the tribulation. Thank you, Lord. Nor the coming judgment of the lost. Nor the eternal hell prepared for the devil and his angels and those who reject you, Lord. And yet, God, it is there and it is real and it is true. And you said that whoever professes you before men, you will profess before the Father. So, Lord, help us to be ready to have professed you before others unashamed, that you are our Lord, our God, and our Savior. For Father, I don't want to be on this earth when your wrath is poured out. I don't want to be among those that are pushed away from you. Father, I want to hear your words to say, enter into the kingdom of your Lord. Dear friend, are you ready? Are you prepared? You can't answer for anybody else. Nobody can say they've prepared for you. You've got to do it yourself. If you've never met Christ as Lord and Savior, dear friend, today is the day. You never know when Christ is returning or when your life may end here on this earth and you'll be called before Him. So, dear friend, I ask you, have you made preparations?